Intervju Radija Študent.
Drage poslušalke, dragi poslušalci, pozdravljeni v daji Ereš Intervju. Razlog, da smo tukaj z vami, zdele, je nocojšnji koncert ameriške zasedbe Giant Sand, ki se bo zgodil v kinu Šiška. Zasedbi, ki prihaja iz Tucsona v ameriški zvezdni državi Arizona, načeljuje Howie Gelb, s katerim smo tudi posneli intervju. Zdaj pa sam za en kratek uvod poslušajmo pesem Without a Word z njihovega zadnjega albuma Provisions.
They talk like a filibuster. Their words surrounding me like I was Custer. Slagging, spewing is all they're doing. When they do manage to muster,
recorded Provisions in Denmark. How did you try to catch the desert feel that is somehow incorporated in your musical work in a cold and sometimes even sunless Denmark?
It wasn't that hard. You know, the desert is in your head, so it doesn't matter where I am.
So the geography doesn't affect your songwriting or music?
I don't think it ever does for anyone. I think that you can go somewhere and be inspired, but I don't think that that place ever becomes a part of you. You become a part of it. So wherever your home is, wherever you spend most of your life, you know, it takes years for that place to become you. And then that's what you are. When you go to other places, those places inspire you to do something. And whatever it is you do is still who you are. So you don't change so easily with where you are, even if you wanted to. Sometimes I think I am, but then when I listen later, it's just me.
So where were those songs for the record Provisions contemplated? I mean, did you just take them to Denmark and ready-made and got into studio with Toger Lund, Peter Tombernowski and Anders Pedersen? Or did you make them somehow, or some percentage of them in Denmark?
Yeah, they get written everywhere. Mm-hmm. And when I'm on the road, I'm alone a lot, so I tend to write more when I'm alone. But it can happen anywhere. It used to happen when I lived in the desert, but then now I have the family there. So there's children running around and dogs and cats. And sometimes things don't get done as much there for the music. So when I leave the house to work, I do more music. But the songs get written everywhere. I think, you know, they're just ideas. It's like your ideas. You have ideas everywhere you go. And then when you work with an idea with somebody, that's just where you put it to you make a record of it. But it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter who you are. I'm from Earth, and I tend to hang out with other people from Earth.
So, where did you guys found out? Where did you guys found each other? I mean, with Lund, Tom Bernowski, and Petersen.
I started living in Denmark for a short time of the year, about 10 years ago.
And where were you living?
Aarhus. I met a woman there. So I fell enough in love with her that we got married. And she came back to Arizona with me. And then we had babies. And we take the babies now to Aarhus, where she's from. And that's where I met these guys.
I mean, it took you 4 years to record Provisions. Oh, yeah. It's a pretty long time for someone as productive as you. I mean, both in sense of making your own music and doing collaborations with other musicians.
See that? That's the mistake of looking on paper to make things, to get information and for it to make sense, because it doesn't take 4 years. But on paper you can see that the record before that came out 4 years before that. But these records are being made all the time, every day. They have to wait for their proper time to be released. So otherwise you have a traffic jam of too many records.
Uh-huh.
That's just how I like doing things, is recording, making music a lot, and I don't spend much time in marketing them or promoting them. So I just make them the way a painter would make paintings. And then I let whoever wants them find them. So in the meantime, I made a solo record with a gospel choir, and I made a piano instrumental record. And then we make these other CDs that we only sell on tour. And these things happen. These things are happening all the time.
One of those songs on Provisions was written in 91, as I've read it on the internet somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
Is that true?
Yeah, I wonder which one. Do you know which one?
I don't remember, but...
I don't remember.
Okay.
They get written all over the place, I tell you.
Okay, you've mentioned also you're doing... you're putting out records also as a solo artist.
Yeah.
I was wondering, how do you decide which record? I mean, because you're always the leading force behind the Giant Sand or the first member of the band, something like that. I was wondering, how do you decide which record would be Giant Sand record and which one would be a solo record?
It's just a matter of where you are when the songs are coming to you. So if I'm with the band, they become band songs. When I'm not with the band, they become solo songs. Then we make records of all of these songs, and now we have like 40 records. But when I show up in a place and I need some songs, I don't have enough right now. For example, in Cordoba, Spain, I was there, and I was being introduced to these flamenco gypsies to play. And I thought back of my old songs and which ones I could play. So I look back at all these old records and see what comes to mind that might work with the chord structure of flamenco. So I'm able to take these songs, these old songs, and do them maybe the way they were always supposed to be made. But at the time, as a songwriter, you just write them, you just put them down. And then later, more as a musician, you can pretend they're somebody else's song. And now you're going to do it the correct way or the better way. So I made this record with these gypsies. And then while I'm making this record, I start to be so inspired that I write many other songs right there. So the process, there is no process. It's just a way of life. You just... just like ideas. They just come to you and you're able to put them together. Maybe for somebody else to understand, but mostly just to give you something to work with.
So, I was wondering, I mean, there were a lot of band members in a giant sand, with you always being a constant driving force mm-hmm. in or behind the band. A lot of those ex-members went on to form other pretty well-known bands, mm-hmm. like, let's say, Calexico, Green on Red, Friends of Dean Martinez, and so on. And other went to playing quite notable acts like Arcade Fire or Isabel Campbell and Mark Lanigan's band. It's somehow evident that all those ex-members got a lot from Giant Sand. But I'm wondering, what did or does Giant Sand get from them?
Well, it's always a privilege, an honor, a pleasure, a love fest. It's to be with the people I've played with. I've only played with them because I like them. In the beginning, I meet them and I enjoy their company or presence and the way they think. So the band is almost just like a home. You just come into this home for a while, for as long as you need shelter. And then when you're done and you need to go out on your own, you're more rested, you're more ready, and you have more information, you have more experience, and then you can use that to go on with your own life. You forgot about our two oldest drummers who went on to play with Bob Dylan for 5 years,
okay.
Winston, and Jonathan Richmond still has Tommy Larkins.
Uh-huh.
And so the drummers have done pretty well. And, you know, John is in Calexico, and Jeremy's in Arcade Fire, and Snow Angel, and Peter plays with Isabel. So I'm not sure why that is. But it's just lucky.
I got a statistical fact somewhere on the internet. I mean, that you play like 60 shows a year, mm-hmm. and 90% of which are in Europe. Is that true?
Oh yeah, that could be.
And I mean, it's quite a lot of shows in Europe. So, any comments on that?
I think it's more than 60.
60 shows a year? More than that?
It feels more than 60.
Okay.
Is it only 60? I don't know. But they are mostly in Europe, and that happened because I chose that. Here's what you got to do. The hardest thing in the world, in the music world, is to have a family and to keep making music.
Hmm.
In the old days, when you didn't have to leave your home and you could play in, like if you were a jazz musician, you can live with your family in New York and go play. But still, you were out all night, so that wasn't easy either. It's never been easy for a musician to have a family or for a family to have a musician. That's the problem. That's the constant reconfiguration to try to make it work. And I'm talking about children, you know, you want to be there for the children. Later, when they get bigger, they love it. They love the fact you're a musician because they get all kind of perks. You know, they can meet some of their favorite band members that they never thought they could meet before, and they can come to festivals, and they can be on stage, and they can play in the band, and you can put them to work. And then they get all your old guitars. So that's pretty cool. But in the beginning, when they're young, you have to be there in their lives. You got to be there for the birthdays. So it makes it more difficult to be a musician, because being a musician means traveling all the time. So that's why, if it's 60 days, that's why it's only 60 days. Because I want to be home I don't want to be on tour more than 3 weeks at a time, so I can be home for the kids. But that came, you know, there came a time when I started having children, where I couldn't give myself completely over to the music and just be gone all the time. So that was the reason why you have to make these choices and limit yourself somewhat.
So yeah, the music press is referring to you as an alt country or alternative country troubadour. Are you I wouldn't say get along with it, but
I understand where it comes from, because if you go back in the early 80s, I'm on record as being back when it wasn't very fashionable to play country music in the early 80s. My first record was a country record in 83, I think it was, the band of Blackie Ranchette. And so those people that have looked back to see how far back it goes, then they could say something like that. Like, you know, I don't mind it. I mean, I think country music was the original punk music. People like Johnny Cash or even, I think Hank Williams was David Bowie before David Bowie was David Bowie.
Yeah.
Especially in those nudie suits. So I think there's a lot going on in music that when you give it a label, it seems to limit what it is. Like we're talking about on paper, you think this is what it is because that's the way it says so on paper, but it's always more than that. So I don't mind being called that, but it's more than that.
So are you maybe aware of any musicians that were once rocking in their punk rock bands, but today they are playing like country or folk music? I'm talking here about, let's say, Tim Barry of A Whale, Chuck Reagan of Hot Water Music, or Ben Nichols of Lucero. You know any of these guys?
I don't know any of those guys.
Okay. I just thought you're...
I'd have to ask my daughter. She would tell me.
Okay. It's a widely known saying. I mean, let's talk about politics for last few minutes of this interview. It's a widely known saying that goes like, when America has a Republican president, the best rock music gets made.
I said that.
Yeah, you said that. A lot of people said that, yeah.
They did?
Yeah, you said that. You released Provisions still in the Bush era, if I'm right, but with a slight side of a so-called, or let's say change, or so-called change in this American political system. How did Bush's era influence your last album? And if there's any pro-Obama stance with that album title?
Well, there's not so much a correlation between politics and music. In anybody's, no matter what.
Okay.
People always try to mix the two. They try to use some songs for political representation or gain or complaining. I mean, it's a way to scream out, but it's not. Music is completely different and way more spiritual than politics will ever be. It's sacred. It's something that's in your heart and in your. Well, it's the first sense you get when you're still in your mother's womb. You begin hearing music because it's your first senses. You know, the ear develops inside the belly of the mother, and you're hearing things that are sounds that will be begin the soundtrack to your existence. You won't know a word until you're out of the womb for another 2 years, and then you'll start to understand what words are. Politics are all about words, and music and soundscapes started when you're still being formed. So that learning curve for those first couple of years puts it way ahead of anything else. And when people try to talk about music and politics, it's always, in my opinion, a big mistake. They're not even in the same universe, let alone the same planet. However,
yeah.
Politicians and politics in general can inspire you or depress you. They can repress you, and they can frustrate you. They can cause anger. They can cause all these feelings, these human feelings, and when you have these feelings, then you need some place to put these feelings. And music, especially sounds, that can represent pretty accurately your feelings. So lyrics have a harder time because lyrics are words, and lyrics try to wrap up your feelings the best they can, but they never really hit it. Lyrics don't really hit it. The music can hit it, but lyrics don't. And it's because of that curve when you're forming in your belly. Anyway, the point is, when you have somebody like Bush for a president, it's very uninspiring, very depressing. You don't see any intelligence. You don't see any creativity. So that hole, that vacuum, gets filled by what you can create yourself, or what you can, what kind of noises you can make that are screaming out against that kind of frustration, which is why distortion pedals get turned up and amps get turned louder when people like that are in office, because it seems insane when they're in office and how they got there and how long you have to wait till they're gone.
So this is where the difference is between, good music and bad music.
Well,
in correlation to...
Yeah, the good music can be made during anybody's time. But I think what I've noticed is since Nixon was president, and that's when I started listening to rock and roll, it was really good back then. And then when Democrats would get in for their short time, rock and roll wasn't so volatile, you know. It didn't cause as much of a disturbance. So it's kind of like the rock and roll is almost like the conscience, of the soundscape. And when somebody is controlling things too much in a bad way, the conscience like erupts, and then you get some great rock and roll music. You know, you get somebody like Obama in office, who's very intelligent, very creative, and is pretty good at playing basketball too. He's a great guy, so it's just a big relief. And then you might not get such loud music per se, but the world is in such states of chaos these days. You know, everything from social eruption to volcanic eruption, that there's no telling. You're gonna get all kind of stuff all the time anymore. I don't think things will calm down anytime soon.
So how would you comment on latest Arizona's law that makes it a state crime to be in the country illegally and requires immigrants to carry paperwork providing their immigration status?
Yeah, so now it's just like Europe. That's the funny thing, right? Somebody comes up to me here, I got to show them my papers. And I look like I'm not from here, or if I got my hat on, I can be stereotyped, you know, or these boots, I don't know, or the way I'm talking. And authorities can come up to me and say, let's see some papers. Here they are, right? Now the same thing is going to happen there, and it seems like a big deal. It's not a big deal, except it's insulting, because Arizona is made up of people from Mexican heritage. There's so many, it used to be Mexico. So that's the problem. So those people know that some people will abuse that power. Some police, they'll cause problems. Nobody needs those kind of problems. It's a stupid law. It doesn't do anything. And if anything, it just serves to make a lot of people angry. So I imagine they're going to be making some good rock and roll.
Okay. Thank you so much for the interview. Do you have anything to say to our listeners?
I'm happy to be here. I've never been in Slovenia before.
How come?
Yeah, you tell me.
I don't know.
I'm just waiting for an invitation.
Okay.
So, I finally got one. And I just always enjoyed meeting new people from Earth. It's a pretty good place if you let it be a good place.
He's gonna show up. Ja, tole je bil Ereš intervju z ameriško zasedbo Giant Sand, ki prihaja natančneje iz Tucsona v Arizoni. Giant Sand lahko danes večer vidite v kinu Šiška. Za konc bomo pa še malo spustili muske, pol pa pridejo na spored druge stvari Radija Študent. Nič, to so bili Giant Sand, to je bil intervju s Hovijem Gelbom, jaz sem bil Uroš Badovinac, na drugi strani je pa tehnik Simon. Adio.
Intervju Radija Študent.